Yeah, it's for my people in the streets. And this thing back here.
R.I.P. DMX. Hour number three here on a triple option with RBKD. We got Rod Babers, we got Brad Kellner, I'm Kevin Dunn. About an hour and 15 left before we take you to Texas and Kansas State. Game one of their three-game series. Should be a good pitching matchup. Certainly if you're a Major League Baseball fan, maybe tune in for that. We'll talk about that coming up at 6 o'clock, but we get back to some UT football. Our friends at 24/7 been providing, like they usually do, a lot of good content. We had the Jeff Howe article earlier, and our boy Chip Brown had one, the insider. His insider stuff, Rod, can give you some nuggets.
Yeah, he does some great dumpster diving.
He really does.
He's good at what he does.
I know, it comes off as a dig, but it's not.
But it's not. It's somebody who's willing to get his hands dirty, yeah, and willing to, you know, and not always be seen in the best light just to make sure he's providing the best information. That's what Chip does. He does a good job at it.
I've hung out with Chip outside of work, and he does live in a dumpster.
Okay.
Yes, I can confirm that.
That explains when the hair is kind of wet. Then.
Yeah, it's a nice dumpster. He's got TVs, couches in there. It's huge, but that's where he does live, I think.
So one of the things we've talked about a lot is just the either lack of alignment or the need for alignment with all the people that are involved at a high level with Texas. So we're talking about the people that pay the bills. We're talking about, obviously, people that make decisions. So that can be people on the 40 and also people that are just alums. And you may have to convince them that, hey, we really need this right now, especially if you've got a lot of projects like UT has had going on and you just hire a new football coach, new basketball coach. It does appear, guys, that CDC has opened up the checkbook, and I think part of the reason both Sark and Beard came here was because they got that promise that you're going to be able. We're not going to stand in your way. If you don't work here, it's not going to be because of us. Yeah. And I've been, as a Texas fan, was really pissed off during the baseball search because that program above any for 100 years proved that they do deserve an open checkbook,
yeah,
and that you should go out and get the best. We had four coaches in 100 years. I'm hoping David Pierce is that guy, but I do know what Augie was looking for, and the Tim Tadlock thing with Skip being his best friend and pitching coach was set up, and Texas lowballed it, and we'll see how it all works out. But for my money, Tim Tadlock is still the best college baseball coach in Texas, and he was going to be here, but we weren't aligned at that point.
Yeah.
It's crazy if you just go through the timeline of events that have taken place within the athletic department over the last 10 years. And look, I don't want to completely let the Lost Dodds off the hook. I mean, that guy was awesome, the best AD we've ever had, and he was responsible for the Mac, Augie, Rick Barnes days, which was the best era of Big Three Texas sports of all time. But, I mean, the whole Saban-Mac Brown situation happened under his watch, right? I mean, that's kind of what sort of spearheaded the last decade of embarrassment for Texas football. And that situation happened there. And then obviously you get to the Stevie Patterson era.
OG Stevie P.
OG Stevie P, as
Hatchet
you like
man.
To call him, Rod B. I mean, that didn't even last 2 years.
No,
that guy was so bad. And we're talking, I mean, budget cuts. You guys remember? He had Texas, the University of Texas, the richest athletic department in the country. He cut funding so teams had to take buses to games. Like, they were taking seven-hour bus trips to Lubbock.
To Lubbock, yeah.
It's like, why? Like, why? You've got money. Why would you do this? They would limit assistant coach contracts. I mean, first of all, the two big hires that Steve Patterson made did not end up working out with Charlie Strong and Shaka Smart. Those weren't great. But remember how limited Charlie Strong's checkbook was? Like, Charlie Strong couldn't pay any assistants. He couldn't get anybody.
The OC that he wanted.
The quality control coaches at Texas were making less than they were at Kansas. We're talking football here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Steve Patterson did with all the money that Texas had. You had the random basketball trips to Shanghai to make money and to partner up with the Pac-12 for some reason. I remember coaches had to pay for meals in the dining hall. Like, just the nickel and diming going on by Steve Patterson. And it's that combined with the lack of alignment that he had. I think the greatest thing that's happening on the 40 acres right now in regards to sports is the fact that sort of the big three are aligned. The big three, President Jay Hartzell.
Yeah.
Chairman of the Board of Regents, Kevin Eltife, and Chris Del Conte.
Yep.
Dude. Steve Patterson would go behind Bill Power's back so many times. Those guys were never on the same page. And there was so much just back and forth arguing about what should be done and how it should be done. I mean, that's why this era, the Steve Patterson era, lasted less than 2 years. It was so bad. So now it's so great that all three of these guys are all aligned. And Chip does a great job talking about it in the article. But you don't go out and get Steve Sarkisian the way you did if you're not aligned. Yeah. You sure as hell don't get Chris Beard, who's one of the biggest, hottest names on the college basketball coaching market in 5 years. You sure as hell don't have that transition go as smoothly as this one did if you don't have those three guys all on the same page. So, Rod, I mean, CDC's done yeoman's work since he got here. He had a tough job. On the outside, you look at things and say, oh, it's Texas. They've got more money, more resources than anybody else. But you know, Steve Patterson put us in such a terrible spot. Mike Perrin in a tough spot. I mean, in an interim role, wasn't really cut out for the job. He's a really nice guy. He did some good things. I'll give him some credit. It was a tough situation that he was in. But, I mean, CDC had a lot of rebuilding to do. Mm-hmm. And it was weird just how far behind the eight ball Texas was. But, man, over the nearly four-year run that CDC has been here, so much has changed for the better. And it feels like things are only looking up right now within the athletic department.
Yeah, I think they do have a nice little holy trinity working for him. Jay Hartzell seems to be a kind of a great point man, if you will, kind of a point man for not only the university, but bringing the athletic department together and also the university as an academic institution together. Then you have Kevin Eltife.
Mm-hmm.
Who I've just read up on him and done research, but from what I've heard, he's a problem solver. He's a guy that he is a crisis. He's great in a crisis, so he's a great crisis manager. But he's also a really good problem solver. And he was one of the key advocates for Steve Sarkisian after the Urban Meyer, and Chip talks about it, after the Urban Meyer deal or Urban Meyer, you know, situation, after it falls apart, they decide, you know, Steve Sarkisian is someone that they all agree would be a very good candidate. And apparently it was Kevin Eltife who suggested that. So he seems to be a really good kind of COO, central operations officer, if you will. CDC is the guy on the ground that's raising money. And that's been his great asset that he brings to the table. He can fundraise. He can fundraise.
He glad hand.
Yeah, he really can.
Which is so big with this job.
Well, it's big in any athletic director job, but this one in particular.
This one's a little different.
No doubt about it. And, you know, he's done a really good job of, and I think it's $640 million mm-hmm. he's had to raise for facility upgrades. That includes a $388 million Moody Center. It's going to be a $60 million private facility for men's basketball, a practice facility, I mean, for men's basketball. You got a $200 million renovation to the south end zone. You got the Longhorn Hall of Honor, north end zone. I mean, so many different projects. And as Chip points out, if all the BBs weren't in the box to bring up back the old
zero
DKR.
BBs were in the box.
Yeah, for a while
I'm
they
telling
weren't.
You, zero were in the box.
But if they weren't in the box, you wouldn't be able to get that much money raised. And this is why the Eyes of Texas was a big issue. I think it will continue to be a big issue because it did threaten to divide the leadership. And that could have potentially been infighting among the leadership. And maybe there was a little bit of it, but they definitely got back on the same page. And despite individual agendas and lack of communication, void of leadership, all those things BK mentioned that ultimately led to the deterioration and the downfall of Texas athletics in the last decade. I think now they're starting to resolve some of those things, and everybody is aligned, as BK mentioned, toward one common goal, one vision for the athletic department, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it just felt like individual agendas, KD, were kind of getting in the way of what's best for the university.
I think that's exactly it. And so you want to get those three where they're on the same page. Hartzell in this article talks about how he and Eltife are both business school grads. They got their PhD. Eltife's a pretty incredible story, commercial real estate, and was able to build up from there.
Self-made
and
millionaire.
Self-made, and nothing better than that, self-made millionaire.
Yep.
So, but yeah, right, you hit it early. He does seem to have kind of the crisis management skills. And for me, it's more about dealing with what do we call them? Jicks.
Jicks.
And a lot of the big money alums are going to be those people.
Yeah.
And even if they're not necessarily, if you go out to dinner with them, there's going to be huge egos. They want their say. You really got to massage egos. And you got to make people feel more important than they are. and even if they're really important and cutting a big check. And that, to me, has always been the toughest thing. I mean, it's like coaching an all-star team, you know, where you really – Phil Jackson's best job was actually managing egos and working with everyone to make sure that they're copacetic and that we've got the same vision and the same goal. And that, to me, seems to be really different.
Yeah, the triangle was great, but that's what separated Phil Jackson.
Right.
That's what set him apart.
And he had Tex Winter to do the triangle.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, just all of the renovations, all of the facilities upgrades that have gone on the 40 acres. And look at the hires, too. I mean, obviously, we've been talking about Steve Sarkisian and Chris Beard a lot, but, you know, the Vic Schaefer hire, seemingly working out great for women's hoops. The Mike White hire for softball as
well. It's going to be good.
Eldrick Florial for track and field. I mean, those hires have all gone really, really well. And it just seems like every single athletic sport, every single sport down on the 40 acres is getting some sort of upgrade.
Hmm.
Whether it's facilities, whether it's stadiums, whether it's locker rooms, whether it's coaching. It just feels like no stone is being left unturned right now within the athletic department. And I think that has to do with the job CDC has done. I mean, my God, it'd be tough to power rank all of the things Chris Del Conte has done. I mean, there are some things that we disagree with. I think the handling of the Eyes of Texas was not nearly as good as it should have been. And you can nitpick some other decisions made by CDC, but the hires, the fundraising that he's done, just getting enthusiasm and excitement back to game day with Bevo Boulevard. Like, it sounds so simple. Like, how do we not have something like that down on campus by the stadium to get a bunch of people there early and have everybody together repping UT and making it a scene when Bevo walks into the stadium and when the band walks into the stadium, when the players walk into the stadium. Like, that stuff should have been done a long time ago, but CDC actually came in and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, he hasn't even been here for 4 years. It feels like he has made 20 years worth of changes
in that
3.5-year span.
And some of them have been really smart and things that you wouldn't have thought of. And I'm not trying to take away credit from CDC here, but you're right. It does feel like 20 years of stuff in 4 years. And anytime that happens, that means whoever you're taking over for really, really was missing the point and was sitting on stuff. And I was thinking about this 2 days ago, the most obvious decision he made. I mean, imagine coming in and they tell you about the Occupy left field thing, and you keep on repeating, hold on, I'm obviously missing some of the story. So they all have season tickets. They're hardcore fans. They're trying to create an atmosphere, an energy that every sport desperately needs here. And we're being a-holes and putting something up so they can't see it, even though they buy season tickets here?
Yeah.
That must have been the easiest thing. Mm. He must have asked them to repeat that two or three times. Hold on, I know I'm missing something. Who did Mark Pena murder? nothing. They're everything.
Did Jeff Cross actually fire the cannon and hit somebody
exactly.
with it?
But you've gone to this school, you've worked for that school, you've worked in television, so you know all about you know, like copyright laws, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Texas is really big. There seem to be Nazis about it at times, about, you know, hey, the brand, right?
Yeah.
And how they manage the brand and who has access to the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for that, I don't even know. I don't know the details of that, but that just sounds ridiculous. I bet they were worried about the couple of people who weren't season ticket holders,
right,
who were going to get a chance to just watch the game for free, like there in person,
right,
without paying. And somebody there convinced somebody in the administration to go, you know what, let's just block all of them and force them to go into the stadium rather than build up a great tradition,
right,
which is what Occupy Left Field has done. And instead, you know, I love CDC because he comes in and he's like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
That'd be like Amazon refusing to give people refunds or rebates when they don't get packages delivered,
right,
when there's something lost or broken.
These are your customers.
They're your customers. Yeah. Amazon's,
this is
like,
your clients.
If you ever try to get a refund or a rebate from Amazon, they give it to you right away. They don't care about that stuff. Like Chick-fil-A, I know you're coming back. So here, take free nuggets. We're sorry we messed up.
Right.
We'll never let it happen again. Jeff Bezos knows you're coming back. He's like, no, you can have that free whoopee cushion or whatever the hell you ordered. You can have that lamp. I'll send it to you again because I know you're coming back here and I'll make my money back. Same thing with Texas.
Right.
Those fans?
Yeah.
Those are the fans that are going to buy stuff from the co-op. Those are the fans who make sure their kids are decked out in Longhorn gear. Those fans are going to give you a return on your investment quadruple times what they're paying.
And the blowback
crazy
publicly, which they got.
It's crazy.
If your hardcore fans get upset at you, like,
what are you doing?
Go follow Occupy Left Field. He doesn't want to be negative about Texas, and nor should he. But he had to be on that. It's like, this makes no sense. There are some easy decisions the CDC came in and made. But there have been tough ones, too, and it seems like most of them, he's not just the glad hander that I was worried he may just be coming from TCU.
Right, and he's making those decisions, and he's putting them into action, too. It's not just like, all right, well, in 10 years, we'll start working on this. Like, I realize we might have to address this at some point. I'll take a look at it in the future. It's like, no, he's tackling 10 different projects at a time.
People hit him up on Twitter about, hey, CDC, into the bathroom at USC. It smelled bad, and there wasn't enough toilet paper. Can you look into it? And CDC will respond like, yep, I'll look into it.
We'll get Airwicks plugged in. We'll put Febreze on top of the toilets. We'll take care of you.
And some of the tweets are, hey, look, my grandfather went to school here. And I'm always like, oh, I know where this is going. Great. He is prefacing a big-time ridiculous bitch. Oh. And we're about to get it right now. This is going to be griping on a different level. And it's, my grandfather would have told you we're an over school and not an under school. Right. So just tell them when they're lining the toilet paper that's what UT's about.
Yeah.
And I'll see his tweet back. And he'll even have fun with it sometimes. But I thought, oh, my God, you got so much more patience than I do.
He does. And to BK's point, he's handling the macro issues, but he will address the micro.
Yeah.
He'll address the micro.
That would be micro.
And DeLoss Dodge is one of the greatest athletic directors in the history of college sports, period. I mean, I do wonder if he would have been now, when you met DeLoss, he was always accessible. DeLoss, he'd talk to you, have a conversation, hang out. I wonder in the Twitterverse, in the social media age, would DeLoss Dodge been as accessible as CDC?
No.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have blamed him.
I don't know if any athletic director really is.
Yeah.
Across the country, I'm sure some of them are, but that's a lot of guys that are asking crazy, random questions about, you know, I don't like the hue of the burnt orange for the players in the Oklahoma
legitimate.
State
that was
game.
Me. See, okay. I back that one up. How dare you?
Yeah.
The toilet paper's wrong.
No, but people were upset about the hue of the orange.
I know,
and
I
they were hitting up CDC, like, CDC, do something about it.
Crazy.
What is he going to do about it?
We're in great hands right now.
We are.
With the trifecta. Chris Del Conte, President Hartzell, Kevin Eltife. It feels like the outlook for the athletic department is very, very bright right now, brighter than it's been in a while.
I love Hartzell, too.
Yeah.
Like, the more I'm learning about this guy, I think he's a really big part of this, and I think it's easy to look at the other two, and rightfully so, give them credit because of those roles and how important they are. But we've had, I mean, especially where academics seem to be leaning towards, which is nutty, crazy, what the hell are you talking about these days? Whether you're left or right, you just go, what? That it's nice to have someone who seems to be pragmatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually came out of the eyes. I don't think we're done with the eyes of Texas issue at all. But the way that Jay Hartzell handled it, I actually came out of it with a great deal of respect and admiration for the way that Jay Hartzell handled it and continues to handle it, because he continues to say it's an evolving topic.
Yeah, it's fluid.
Like, we actually really don't know. It's still an evolving topic. We're going to teach the negative history of it, the racially insensitive history of it. We're going to teach the entire history of it. So I came away with it actually respecting the way that he handled the eyes of Texas. CDC, I thought, could have handled things a little bit better, but there's been a lot on CDC's plate, and I like that he isn't having to tackle those really difficult issues, talking about CDC alone. Because I think CDC left Tom Herman to tackle it on his own. Not saying that CDC didn't send him a memo and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to get into the details of it. But it looks like Tom Herman had to take on the blowback and the brunt of that alone. All right. He seemed to be isolated at one point. That should never happen within the community at Texas. Right. Charlie Strong got to the point where I thought he was isolated. His players, at least his players were on his damn side.
Yeah.
And Tom Herman didn't even have his players to have his back. He was just by his damn self. So I like the fact that
argue he sold out more for them.
Well, I do. I think
publicly,
I think
he did with the eyes.
Of Texas,
yeah.
I think he was trying to do what the players wanted to do. He's like, no, I'm going to let the players decide what they want to do. And ultimately, well, we know how that ended.
I've gotten flowers too late after the whole thing was done, and it only goes so far.
Yeah. So, but I like the fact that CDC is not going to be isolated when another difficult topic comes up, probably the eyes of Texas again.
Yeah.
Which will. All right. Oh, okay. Raj round today. You guys are going to get a choice, because I don't know which one I want to do today. So I'm going to give you a choice.
I'll take B.
Multiple choice. You can choose the topic about finance and billionaires, or you can choose a topic about celebrity politicians.
Okay. Oh, God, that's tough.
All right, we'll think of it over the break. Is that possible? Is that legal?
Yeah.
Do we need to answer right now?
You can pick whichever one you want.
Is that right? I already forgot what you said. So.
I'm
already forgot what I said?
I'm down for both.
I was too busy looking for the D's nuts drop that I didn't listen.
Choose between celebrity politicians or billionaires.
Okay.
I'll give you an answer.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. All right, did you guys decide between celebrity politicians and billionaires? We might have time to get both of them in if we kind of move through them quickly, but...
They both sound, I mean, that's one of those where both, I'm sure, are going to be good. But we already talked about a billionaire earlier, so because of that, I'll go celebrity politicians. Nice. Plus, it seems like we're seeing a lot of those, at least talking about running.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? It is. That's a good point. BK?
I'm down with that. Yeah.
Okay. To that point, I think that has been, because Matthew McConaughey has recently entertained thinking about running for governor. There are a lot of people in the know who I know. Who think it's real. Like, this is not Matthew McConaughey just blowing smoke. Like, he's legitimately thinking about running for governor.
He probably is blowing smoke, though, too.
And you know what? I will say this. If he came out for marijuana, legalization of marijuana in Texas, I think he'd get a lot more votes. I'll always say, I think he'd get bipartisan support.
I think it would help out with independents.
It would.
A lot.
It would.
Who also...
Yes. Not saying they're one issue voters, but.
No, but. But that's
stay
a good one.
Off but the weed.
Considering what it's done for local economies in Colorado and other states, he could really make a case economically why it would benefit the state. Anyway, but that's legit. And a lot of people have talked about Matthew McConaughey running for governor of Texas. So there is this website, People Say? Okay, it's supposed to be People Say, but it's spelled P-I-P-L-S-A-Y. So just say, I don't know, I'm not being an ignoramus.
Okay.
All right, I'm sure it's supposed to be People Say, but it's spelled
that URL
differently.
URL was taken.
So you'll know exactly. You'll know exactly where to look for it. But they did a study. They surveyed 30,138 people nationwide to get their thoughts about celebrities running for office because people believe that Donald Trump is going to be Tiger Woods. And he may not be Tiger Woods. And what I mean by that is, when Tiger Woods took over golf and did something nobody had ever seen done, people thought, oh, it's going to be more black golfers. There's going to be a ton of black golfers from now on. And actually, we haven't seen more black golfers. The truth is, since Tiger Woods became a phenomenon, you had two black men ranked in the top 100 right now in the PGA and one black woman ranked in the top 300 rankings. Tiger Woods really had any effect on black people playing golf at an elite professional level. In 1967, 1981, there were 19 black golfers on the PGA and LPGA tour, 12 in the 60s, it was 11 in the 70s, 3 in the 80s, 3 in the 90s.
So it's actually gone down.
It's actually going down. Okay. People saw Tiger out there was like, I can't do that, hell no. Less people playing golf, which is crazy, right?
Black people looked at him and said, he's Asian, and Asians said, he's black.
Well, he said
it
he was.
It doesn't fit me.
Did he say he was Cablation or something like that?
Yes.
Cablation. Asian, right? So there you go. But there are 24 million recreational golfers in the U.S. right now. Less than 3% of them are black. Now, I'm not trying to make this a race issue. Not getting into that at all. My point is, everybody assumed, oh, he is going to be a trailblazer for African Americans in golf. Turns out that didn't happen. Now, Trump, the people are saying he's going to be a trailblazer as well. My thought is, it's probably not going to happen. I think he's going to end up being like Tiger Woods. Yes, a phenomenon in itself. We all know President Trump was that because first president ever without any political or military experience. He just won off his celebrity alone, which is why people are thinking, oh, you can go from celebrity, not Ronald Reagan.
No, so Reagan was governor of California.
Reagan was governor. A lot of these guys, right, Clint Eastwood, you know, I know people have talked about him. But
Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger was a governor first. Jesse Ventura was a mayor and then a governor of Minnesota. So usually you start working your way up. I mean, he won the highest office in the land and he did it off pure celebrity. So a lot of people believe that this could be just the beginning of this tip of the iceberg kind of thing. So people say back to this website that
Pipples.
Did this
Pipples.
Study, Pipples or whatever. They found 58%. We were 30,000 people, over 30,000 people surveyed. Over 58% of Americans would support Matthew McConaughey and Dwayne Johnson's run for political office. That's 58% of the 30,000.
And they didn't say
people.
Whether it's president, governor, just political
governor
office.
for Matthew,
okay.
President for Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow.
So they did get specific.
They wouldn't be on the same
Clark. No, no, no. That's one is for governor of Texas. That's Matthew McConaughey. The other will be running for president of the United States. But when they asked the question, here's how they actually phrased the question, if you want to know. Actors Matthew McConaughey and Dwayne The Rock Johnson have shown keen interest in joining politics. Would you like to see them run for Texas governor and the U.S. presidency, respectively? 58% said yes. 29% said they support both McConaughey and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. 21% said they're not sure about it. 21% also said hell to the no. Based on this study, people would be at least open to the idea of a celebrity running for office, kind of how President Trump did. When they were asked, what is your opinion about Hollywood stars running for political office? 45% said they are free to do whatever they want. 19% said anyone can join politics these days. 13% said they must stick to acting. 12% said they must
shut up and dribble
to political activism at the most. When they were asked, do you think Hollywood stars can make good politicians? 39% said yes, if they have the political aptitude. 24% said yes, if they have the right team in place. So combine those numbers, you get the right team in place, and you have the aptitude to showcase yourself well, America will be willing to listen to you. 13% said no, just being famous is not enough, and a lot of people say no. So some people will just turn it off. Probably 25% of the population will say, hell no, I'm not even listening to a celebrity president. But most of America seems to be open to it, and I think President Trump has a lot to do with that. When people ask, do you believe celebrity opinions and endorsements influence public opinion? 81% said yes. We all know that's true.
Yeah, no
I mean,
doubt.
That's why Kim Kardashian is a freaking billionaire at this time. Individual celebrities. Who among the following male Hollywood stars would you like to see run for president? Who do you think got the most votes, the most percentage of votes? What Hollywood celebrity?
I think Hollywood star. Mentioned his name. I would go with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I'm going to go... Oh, man.
I am a woodpecker.
Come on, bugs, get out of there. I'm hungry. Let's
no
go.
Way.
Not
no
Bill
way.
Walton.
You guys is it like missing. George Clooney or someone like that?
George Clooney is a good one. Yeah, he's 17%. So he's third most, actually, when they asked that question, who among the following males? Now, I don't know if they put The Rock on here because they said the following males. I wonder if they listed the males, too, in a question. Okay. So
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is number one, gentlemen. 22% of the people surveyed said Tom Hanks would be the guy. Will Smith.
Okay.
And at 21%, second on this list, and they got Leonardo DiCaprio at fourth behind George Clooney at 13%. When they listed the female Hollywood stars, who do y'all think, which lady of Hollywood got the most votes?
Can we count Oprah as
that? I'll list the women for you. You tell me who you think got the most votes. Angelina Jolie, Dolly Parton, Ellen DeGeneres, Meryl Streep, Helen Mirren, Jane Fonda, Oprah.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, 9%.
Oh, man.
For Meryl Streep.
Should have been Meryl
BK?
Streep.
Can I throw in a write-in?
Give me a write-in.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Her?
Hopefully not.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be horrible.
Man, when did this article come out? I mean, if it was
it
before we found out about Ellen DeGeneres and the way she treated her
how
employees.
Dare you. I heard that slip up.
She would have been number one.
Yeah.
I think without question. But my guess is she's not.
That's a good point.
Good one, KD.
Did you
yes. Right, okay. Yes, that's awesome. I couldn't let that one go. I should have let it go, but I couldn't let
I'm
it
sure
go.
Sure, it's on Twitch somewhere.
I already forgot the other names. I'll go with Angelina Jolie. She's the only one I remember.
Yeah, 30%.
Bam,
and that's how people vote, too. I
She's
remember that
crazy.
Name. Yeah, she is great. Oprah's at 27%. I'd vote for Oprah or Dolly Parton before I vote for Angelina Jolie.
I know who Chad would vote for.
Who?
Dolly Parton. He still wants to sleep.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
America loves Dolly Parton,
yeah,
by the way.
They
in terms
do.
Of Q scores, she has one of the highest Q scores in the history of Hollywood. In the history of Q scores, I
what's
say.
Her 40 time, though?
That's
what I'm looking
I have
for.
No idea.
You know, raw
it's, hard to run, it's hard to run with all that weight up top.
40 times triple D.
Other insights, 40% of millennials would support both McConaughey and Johnson's entry into politics compared to 37% of Gen Xers and 23% of Gen Zers. So the young people are willing to support more celebrity politicians. 35% of millennials and Gen Xers think that Hollywood stars can make good politicians. 51% of men, 49% of women believe celebrity opinions and endorsements influence public opinion. There you go.
Boom. Interesting stuff, man.
How many percent? That last stat you read?
Only
50-something believe that celebrities...
No,
51% of men and 49% of women.
No, so the one after that, though.
Believe that celebrities influence political opinion?
Yeah.
Oh, man, those numbers feel way low.
Yeah, I thought that was higher than that.
Yeah.
I mean, just based off of me basing my opinion off of seeing how other people react to famous people's opinion on politics, there was a much better way I could have phrased that, I'm sure. But it feels like... Oh, a ton of people have their opinions swayed by it.
They do.
public figures.
Right.
I agree with that.
So, interesting.
And probably more, I mean, just in general, we need to. This is also why I don't vote every election. I know. It's the worst thing you can ever say. If I'm not informed on it, then I'm not going to vote.
Well.
And some people just kind of will listen to, you know, celebrities.
How are you
going to
get your sticker, dude?
Well, that's a good point. I usually just get an extra one and say, I voted.
See, voted anyway.
I voted.
All right, if we got a couple of minutes, I'll give you a couple of these factoids about billionaires.
Yeah.
The 2020 was the greatest year in the history of the Billionaire Index. Only been around for like 10 years. But the 500 richest people in the world saw their net worth grow and increase by almost a third. At the start of the pandemic, one billionaire had more than $100 billion. That was your boy Jeff Bezos. Now, five billionaires have over $100 billion. And how about this? The S&P 500, which is Wall Street index there, had its best year since 1936. But we all know that's weird. There's a disconnect between the market and the actual economy because you had like 80% of the low-income service industry jobs that were lost, like millions of Americans, like 80 million Americans lost their jobs, 8 million people below the poverty line, and yet billionaires – best year they ever had. 493 new billionaires in 2020 alone.
Billions and billions.
Yeah. One new billionaire every 17 hours, yeah, according to Forbes, wow, in 2020. Now 2,755 billionaires total. This number, too, is about the tech billionaires. If you look at that S&P 500, 500 different companies and index, 25% of the overall market value of the S&P 500 plus is four companies. Google, Amazon, Apple, Facebook. That's it.
That would have been my guess.
They are worth 21% of the entire U.S. economy, essentially.
You guys know how to post videos to Facebook.
Isn't that crazy?
That's scary, too.
It is a little bit scary. Yeah. It is. And we are spending a lot more money, too, trying to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, we spent, I think, as a company, we spent $600 trillion to fight COVID. I mean, we spent $2 trillion in like 10 years for World War II.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're adding a lot more on that with whether it's infrastructure, whatever you want to call it.
I think we spent like close to $4 trillion for World War II, and then we spent $6 trillion on that. So it's obviously a short time span. But in terms of the billionaires have never had a better year. It's unbelievable how well they're doing. Jeff Bezos started 2020 with $113 billion. Now he's at $177. Elon Musk started at $24. Now he's at $151 billion just in 1 year.
Yeah.
His worth increased.
They're so diversified and they can go so heavy that, man, it's almost like nothing's going to – they're always going
to
win.
Zuckerberg went from $54 billion to $97 billion. Bill Gates went from $98 billion to $124 billion. Think about it, guys. Jeff Bezos lost $38 billion when his divorce.
Right.
He lost $38 billion in his divorce and got $35 billion in 1 month after the divorce.
What about Winklevoss?
There's no karma there.
It's crazy.
Winklevoss on there, those other Facebook guys? Nah,
they're probably just millionaires now. Yeah. Scrubs.
They're hurting.
All right, I'll give this one stat, then we'll be done. I love this Jeff Bezos stat because he's approaching being the richest man in the history of the world. It took Jeff Bezos 20 years at Amazon to make his first $50 billion. 2.5 years to make his next $50 billion. 6 months to make his most recent $50 billion. He went from he was worth $1 billion in June 1998, $10 billion in June 1999, $50 billion in July 2015, $100 billion by January 2018, and today he's at $177 billion. Gentlemen, wealth exponentially increases.
Man.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it took me 8 months to get my first $50 bill, so I understand the struggle.
You still hang out with us today. We appreciate it.
The second richest man in the world loves Austin. It's called it a boom town. It says it is not, he said it's not a bubble. It will not burst.
Shut up, Elon.
He's saying it's not going to burst.
I know.
He said his studies have shown it's not bursting anytime soon. So buy property if you can.
Quickly, top 15 richest owners came out today. David Tepper won. At $14.5 billion, 142nd richest person in the world.
Not bad.
Wow. Jerry's two at 8.9.
He's probably pissed about that.
Oh, you know,
Jerry's
you know that.
Jerry's trying to get Tep out of the league.
And if that bothers him more than not winning the Super Bowl, then that should really piss you off.
Yeah. I think it does.
I think it does, too.
Yeah, I think it does.
And it does piss me off.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day. Celebrity politicians and businessmen and women as well here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Having some fun on a Friday. When we come back, we'll rehash some of the big headlines surrounding Texas basketball. Chris Beard getting his first commitment as the head coach of UT. We'll tell you who that is. Also, could an important player on the Longhorns be leaving We have some clues that indicate yes. We'll tell you who we're talking about next.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donder and Blitzen. But do you recall,
what's that?
The most famous reindeer of all. Come on!
So glad you played this.
Yeah, baby.
Because when we think of DMX, we don't think of... Oh, really?
Oh,
oh come on.
Disrespecting
second
this man.
Second best Christmas song of
death
all
day?
Time.
On his death day, y'all gonna disrespect a man like that and
disrespect.
Play this?
Disrespect.
Disrespect.
Come on, it's his song.
Yeah. No. Listen, I've said
have
this
Have you
for
heard
a while.
It?
This is not... Yes, I have. This okay. is not a hot take. There are exceptions to every rule. But the truth is, all, for the most part, most, I should say, most Christmas hip hop songs are trash. Trash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most you
some
can,
of them,
and you can stop.
This is the exception.
And this,
you
no,
can take
this
out. You can take out hip hop too.
Trash. No, I like Christmas music.
The people, the Chad Hastings of the world, would tell you there's nothing is good. I would tell you, as someone who likes soft music, some of it's good, but there's still a lot of trash Christmas music.
Yes, there is. Okay. There is. Yes, but the Temptations is a great Christmas album. Anyway, but
well,
I
we're not talking Temptations here.
It was fantastic. Oh, Temptations Christmas is my favorite. Boys II Men did a really good one too. Anyway,
well, you're taking Boys II Men over DMX?
Well, yeah.
On
Christmas
his
music?
Death day?
Man.
Christmas
good thing
music?
Your black card's been gone for 20 years. I think we get snatched up right now.
Wow. Come on, man. You playing that? Were you out of good DMX songs?
I wanted to play the best. That was our last rejoin of the show.
I know. You wasted.
I wanted to make a count.
Released him in ABC. We're Christmas Eve jamming. I mean, what the hell was that one?
O-Town
no,
Christmas.
It was like Let It Snow was on there. It was pretty good. Something about making love on Christmas.
Doing a little Rudolph shuffle.
I mean, I can only imagine the cheese that was hanging off of that thing.
Unreal. Welcome back to the show.
KD karaoke.
We've got about 15 minutes left before we send you off to Texas baseball. The Longhorns opening up a three-game series against K-State tonight at the Dish. Great pitching matchup. We'll set the table for that matchup here in a few minutes. But, guys, some Texas basketball news. We opened up the show with this. If you want to hear some more in-depth conversation about Chris Beard and Longhorn Hoops, go back to our podcast page, hornfm.com. But the good news, it actually dropped around this time yesterday. Chris Beard landed his first commitment as the head coach of the Texas Longhorns. Jalen Tyson, a four-star wing from Plano. He was previously committed and signed to Texas Tech. Yesterday morning, the news dropped that Tyson had requested his release from his national letter of intent. And then yesterday evening, Jalen Tyson took to Twitter to announce that he was coming to the University of Texas. Basically mentioned Chris Beard. Like, that's the thing. He wanted to play for Chris Beard. Chris Beard left Tech, came to Texas. So Jalen Tyson followed. That's a big get, KD. Great news for Texas basketball. And look, we expect recruiting to be very, very good under Chris Beard. We expect in-state recruiting to be very, very good under Chris Beard. Off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, with this staff, I get the feeling that none of us are going to be too worried about recruiting. But because of this transition year, this may be the one year where it's like, hey, if we're going to catch some breaks and if you're going to get some cards that may not have been dealt to you or originally dealt to you, but they're going to end up falling in your hand, this would be the year. I just don't think after this year, once they got everything set, that that's going to be an issue. I mean, this is a recruiting heavy staff, but the fact that you get a 6'6 wing, and you said it earlier, you see some people saying he's a two guard, some people saying he's a three.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him a wing and someone who can score and can be that difference maker. I think that could be huge considering you're looking at, well, it's going to be weird with Brock and Jalen going 2-on-5 next year.
So, and Chris Beard wearing the number one jersey he got at his press conference.
So is Tyson just going to be shooting threes and Brock's underneath there, like, elbowing people? rebounding everything?
Now, Brock's never going to cross half court. He's just going to be drawing charges on the other end of the floor, and Tyson's going to go 1-on-5.
He'll be like I am when I play pickup games, where I'm basically playing defense, even when I'm on offense. I'm like, I got the best guy. I'll lock him down.
That's what I do.
I'll lock him down the whole game.
So Jalen Tyson coming to Texas. The current UT recruiting class ranks 22nd in the country. Remember, there were originally four players signed. Two of them left when the Shaka Smart news dropped, and now Jalen Tyson in the mix. So three signees for the class of 2021 for Texas. The other news, we have a sign that Matt Coleman's days at UT are done. No big surprise there. I think we've all expected it. The speculation has been out there that Matt Coleman would be leaving UT to try to pursue a career at the next level. He is selling his game-worn slash team-issued merchandise on a website called theplayerstrunk.com. Mm-hmm. He's already sold some of those items. Of course, that's an NCAA violation. You can't make money off of your gear as a college student athlete. So I think that tells you everything you need to know, Rod B. Matt Coleman's days on the 40 are done.
KD looked at it last hour, I thought, and it was a 30 out of 32
items. 32 and 30 have been sold. So, sold out.
I bet they're all sold now. Now that we talked about it, now. Like,
well,
not
yeah.
to toot our own.
Yeah, no, you're probably right about that.
There are a couple people who listened and was like, oh my God, I got to get something from Matt Coleman. I want some UT team-issued
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's all gone now.
And now, I guarantee a lot of people have bookmarked that site, too. A lot of Longhorn fans like,
yeah.
oh, well, if Longhorn's just going to go uh-huh. there when they graduate and sell their stuff, I can get a ton of good stuff there. So,
can you imagine what if VY wanted to, like, guys
oh.
like that?
Oh,
if they wanted to. I mean, yeah. they could make a fortune.
Didn't VY have a lot of his stuff stolen? Remember VY
yes.
and H-Town? Well, I don't think it was stolen. I think the, like, he had a storage site.
You're talking about the 2015 National Championship locker room?
I don't know what it was. I don't know what
Rose
stuff
Bowl?
He had near there,
no,
but
kidding.
You remember this story, right?
Yeah.
It was a storage facility, and then basically
yep.
he either didn't pay the bill or
yeah.
something. And they got all of his, like, a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of his memorabilia.
It's like an auction for a storage unit?
Yeah.
yeah.
That's what exactly what
didn't
it was.
Didn't he also sue a financial manager at one point in his life?
Just, yeah.
Money has not been great for that.
That
guy.
Was, I believe that was, oh, was that Ron? Oh, I think it was something like, it was a weird, shady name
yeah.
that he had. Ronnie Peoples or Major Adams?
Yeah. I know his money guy now, and he's doing a good job. And so Vince.
He doesn't, yeah. does he have a shady name? Like Sherwood Blunt?
No, no.
Lloyd
it's not,
Lake?
It's not, no,
Steve
no,
Stevenson.
No, it's not
Michael
that shady.
Michaels? Remember Michael Michaels? The Reggie Bush guy was saying Michael Michaels.
Yeah.
He was like, dude, don't give that guy access to your facility. His name is Michael Michaels.
Two first names is a problem. Two of the same first names is a huge problem.
Right.
Like, come
that.
On.
There's your Texas basketball news. We'll take a quick break when we come back. It'll be our final segment of the week. We'll set the table for Texas baseball. The Longhorns taking on K-State. Big pitching matchup on hand tonight. We'll tell you about it next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's oh, really
man,
good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. You missed any part of the show, please go check out hornfm.com, and you can catch up with any of the podcasts you may have missed there. Before we get out of here and before we wish you a very happy and safe weekend, we got to let you know what's on tap. KD, you up first, brother.
I'm thinking about getting out to the dish at some point this weekend. I've got weird plans, but I think I can get out of one or convince them to go there.
There you go.
So that would
nice.
Be tomorrow.
That'd be cool.
Uh-huh.
You hadn't been all year?
I've not been all year.
Good for you.
I know.
What kind of fan are you, dude?
Well, I'm actually thinking
it's a pandemic.
I'm actually thinking about
happening.
Rod and the fact that we're in
yeah.
the same room together.
There's still a
and
pandemic
so
happening.
I care about my coworkers.
Yeah.
I haven't been either.
Okay, well there.
Well, I was setting you up for that.
I
thought
know.
I was setting it up for you.
You
took
did.
It a completely different direction.
That's a good
point. I gave you a home run pitch and you turned it into a ground rule double, which is fine, but
swung and missed. I'm not even sure I heard to turn it into a ground rule double.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this team and maybe get out there and just check them out. I'll definitely be watching them and hoping that they can get a sweep. But that's what's on tap for me and Masters, too.
Masters.
That's
right.
Jordan Spieth. Two back going into the weekend.
Hey, now.
Yes, sir. Who's the Zalatoris character?
Good dude.
Yeah.
Good dude?
He's friends with Tony Romo for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why I remember that guy's friends
oh,
with Tony Romo.
Oh, you're serious about that?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Romo is like, he considers himself to be a kind of amateur pro golfer, if you will.
Yeah. He's pissed that he's not
he's
playing
pretty,
in this.
Pretty good. Isn't he a scratch golfer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's played in a couple of PGA Tour events. He's playing in one. He gets these like sponsors exemptions to where he can play in like one or two a year. I think he's playing in an event later this month or in May sometime soon, which that's cool.
That's pretty impressive.
They should let him commentate while he plays.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, I love Romo. I'm a Romosexual.
Yeah, I'm in.
Most of you guys are Romophobes.
I'm a Romosexual.
Now everybody loves Romo.
Now everyone's all in.
I've been a Romosexual. I've been out of the closet as a Romosexual.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is very, very true. KD.
Yeah?
If You wanted to go to the dentist this weekend.
Ooh. Man, I missed the last one. I better nail this one. I know what he's doing. You know what? Dr. Greg Eckert would be a great thing to do. You can't go this weekend. Actually, you can call them if it's an emergency, but they've been dealing with their own stuff. They did sustain winter storm damage. Going to take about 4 months to repair. They're hoping June 15th that's going to be done. Currently, their business office is open to answer calls and questions, so they're going to take care of you. So if you're obviously an existing patient, give them a call. Or a new patient, they can do that too. They've got several satellite offices, so general stuff like teeth cleaning, fillings, crowns, elective stuff like implants, teeth in a day, cosmetic veneers, or emergency stuff, broken teeth, toothaches, tooth loss, give them a call. They're the best in town. They've got different satellite offices. Like I said, Dr. U will take care of you. It's 512-345-3166.
Love it. All right. Big game tonight for the Longhorns. You talked about the series, KD. You hope the Longhorns can win their seventh straight series. You would love a sweep, obviously. K-State, a team 2-4 in the Big 12. They were projected to finish seventh in this conference before the year began, but they've got a stud pitching tonight. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, and if you're a guy who kind of likes to focus or pay attention to draft prospects and the MLB draft, then you got to watch this game tonight because you've got Ty Madden going for Texas, projected first-round pick. The cat going for K-State, no pun intended. Hicks. What's his first name? Jordan Hicks? Why can I not remember his first name?
No.
Is it even Hicks?
It's Jordan. Jordan Wicks.
Jordan Wicks.
Yeah,
Jordan Wicks. I see why you got confused, though. Yeah. Jordan Wicks and
Jordan Hicks. Yeah.
Jordan Hicks and a Wicks.
That's exactly.
Change one letter.
I had this whole big thing ready, and I screwed it up. I got to the last line.
It.
Okay, he's supposed to be a first-round pick, too. These guys were the preseason co-pitchers of the year in the Big 12. Should be a good one on the bump.
It should be a really good one. Yeah, Madden, I think I'd be shocked if Ty Madden is not a first-round pick. And you got to remember, too, Jaden Hill, who's LSU's right-hander, who'd been struggling anyway, was thought to be one of those top 10 picks as a right-handed pitcher. Mm. He just tore up his elbow last week, and he was taken out. Kumar Rocker gave up 3 home runs last night. Kumar's not the same Kumar that he was. Tracy may want to take him out back and beat the hell out of him. Get him back to where he was. But
Harold.
What's up?
Where's Harold?
I don't know. Where's Harold when you need him? But yeah, this should be good. Wicks and Ty Madden, a lefty for Jordan Wicks. His strikeout to walk ratio. This guy can definitely K people. But he's given up some hits this year. So we'll see what the Texas offense can do. Rod, in 5 seconds, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to go see my mom.
Awesome.
Nice.
You tell her hi. That's going to do it for us. Texas K-State coming up next. For BK, for Rod, I'm Kevin. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. See you.